I want to invite you to take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 as we continue our series entitled The Church with the Right Stuff. Paul here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 Thessalonians is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and basically he's telling them, and I'm paraphrasing this of course, and hey, you guys got the right stuff. You're doing it right. Because you'll see here, if you've read the first chapter, as we've looked through here in the last few weeks, and now in the second chapter, his encouragement, words of encouragement and praise just saturate these first two chapters. But here now, in this second chapter, he really begins to point out some things of some hardships that he walked through, and not only he, but the church as well. Believe this or not, friends, today, if you do what's right in the eyes of God, I can guarantee you that you and I will, may not be physically, but we will be persecuted for doing that. In other words, if you stand up for what's right according to the Word of God, you will cut against the status quo of this day and age. You will not be politically correct. They will not find you on CNN thinking, trying to find out what you think. And I pray, I asked my Sunday school class this morning, by the way, if you wasn't in Sunday school, I invite you to be in Sunday school next week. I asked my Sunday school class, I said, you know what, I need you guys to pray. I said, because, you know, it's real easy in this sermon, especially just walk right off in the flesh. And I mean, just preach what I think rather than what God's Word says. And God help me this morning not to do that. Paul writes here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the second chapter, beginning at verse 1, 1 Thessalonians. If you're there, say amen. Amen. We're going to read down through verse 8. But the word reads, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain." I'm reading from the New American Standard version of the Word of God. "But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit. But just as we have been approved by God to entrust with the gospel, so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God, who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext of greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." I want to talk to you this morning for just a few moments about the church with the right stuff pleases God rather than man. Father, I just pray this morning now as we see this text that you give to Paul years and years ago, that God, as he wrote this to this church at Thessalonica under your inspiration, as relevant as it was in that day and age, God, it is relevant this morning. It speaks truth today. There is no error found there. It is absolute truth. God, but as we look around the landscape of this society in which we live in, we see a lot of people today trying to please man rather than pleasing you. God, I pray that you break our hearts today. That if any one of us, myself, I pray for myself first and foremost. And God, if I ever try to please man rather than you, God, break my heart. Show me my error. Father God, today we should only strive to please you and no one else. Show us through your word today what it means to be a God pleaser rather than a man pleaser. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I have went back to watching the news and watching news broadcast, and I am on the verge of massive depression. I have went back to watching and trying my best to keep up with what is going on in our society and our nation today. And quite honestly, sometimes it becomes overwhelming to the point of depression. Can I get a witness? I mean, really, it is. Now, I don't know about you, possibly you have here in the last couple of days, possibly you've been watching and seeing what the major theme or thread that is going through our news organizations today. One of the biggest things that we have seen in the last few days is over how our embassies around the world and other embassies around the world have been attacked. And in some cases, people have literally died. An ambassador of the United States of America has died at the hand of, quote, protesters. It's amazing, isn't it? It's really sad to think that someone would overwhelm and destroy not only property, but human life. And what is even more astounding is why that these embassies were overrun. Because of one individual and their effort of producing about a 14-minute long movie about Islam. It's been dubbed anti-Islamic. It's been dubbed it's not right. It's amazing. It sparked protests all over the world, from Kenya to London, and all points in between, and people literally dying for it. You was to go home today, and if you want to, you can do that. I just thought it interesting. If you want to go home today and Google Islamic protest over movie, listen to this, Islamic protest over movie, you will pull up 304 million different hits today. Wait a minute. If you, on the other hand, follow me on this train of thought here now. It took me a while to figure out what I was thinking. Maybe it will you too. On the other hand, if you Google news reports on church persecution, you will pull up 18,200,000 hits. Huh. Wait a minute. It's amazing. We have heard more in the last week, about a religion that is dead set against you and I. We have heard more about them than we have since 9/11. We've heard more about it. The religion and the philosophy, I'll just call it like it is, the religion and the philosophy that flew planes into buildings and killed almost 30,000 people. We have actually stepped back and apologized for producing a movie. God help us. We've actually stepped back and apologized. Listen to this. Not one time, you've heard this all over the news, but not one time did you hear, listen to this, about two churches being burned to the ground and their pastors being drug out the street and executed in the street in Kenya last week. You've not heard one thing about that. You have not heard about a 12-year-old boy who was tortured and killed at the hand of Islamic extremists in Pakistan. You have not heard one word about that. That happened last week. You haven't heard one word about that. Why is that? I tell you why it is. You ready for this? You sitting down for it? We've started trying to please man rather than God. We've tried our best. We're trying our best now to please every lunatic idea that comes along. We're trying our best to put it or our arms around it and say, it's okay, y'all come on in. And it ain't working. Did you realize this? I don't know if you knew this. I was talking to someone about it this morning before I went to Sunday school class. Did you realize this today? Did you realize that there was an actual request from our government that they withdraw a request to Google Corporation, who is what I understand is the parent company of YouTube, request from our government to withdraw that video from YouTube? It's 13 minutes and 51 seconds long. Our government requests to pull it off. Listen to this. Did you realize, listen to this, that they are on YouTube right now today, 10,000 anti-God videos, and not once has anybody said, how about y'all pulling them off? We have become a nation of man-pleasers rather than God-pleasers. And may I just share my philosophy for just a moment? You can take this for whatever it's worth. I always forewarn y'all about this when I put my ideas in anything. Take it for whatever you want to. You can throw it in the trash on your way out. I'm here to tell you today, and God's sick of it. Be God-pleasers rather than man-pleasers. Paul writes to this church right here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I'm here to tell you, he's encouraging them. He is telling them, listen, in this day and age in which they were being persecuted, in this day and age, stand firm for God and please God rather than man. Can I tell you, I'm going to tell you what my daddy used to say. If you strive and I strive to please God today, as my daddy used to say, it's going to take some hide off your back to do it. You know what though? I ain't never went wrong following God yet. Now, I've made some messes following what Mike thinks. Made a bunch of them. But listen to what Paul says. He writes here to this church. When he's talking about being a God pleaser, there's several things that God pleasers realize. And you may want to write these down. We're only probably going to get through a couple of them this morning. But here we go. They're going to do this. God pleasers are going to realize, number one, that God can handle anything. Man. Notice what Paul writes to this church and says in verse 1. He says, For you yourselves, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. Why? Because they were led by God, not by man. They were led by God, not by man. But if you really begin to notice here what Paul writes here, that word vain in the Greek means simply this, empty. Them coming to them was not a lost cause, because God had directed them to go down there. God had directed them to go and be who they ought to be. It's amazing, isn't it? God pleasers realize that God can handle anything, but the Church of the Living God today, for whatever reason, has cowered away and said, you know what? We're just going to take it easy. We're just going to be keep me and mine all right. We're just going to sit back and we're just going to say, you know, everything's fine. As long as everything's all right inside the four walls of the church, so be it. And we're seeing the mess we got today. It's time that the church realize that the God we serve can do anything. He can do anything. I believe this with all my heart. I believe this morning But if I was to just stand up here and read those 8 verses to you this morning, if we was to call Brother Allen back up here and say, okay, brother, you lead us in an invitation, I believe that that word is so powerful, so strong, that just somebody standing up here and reading it changes lives. And I believe with all my heart that standing up here and just reading that word, Alan coming up here and leading us, that somebody somewhere in this place would be on their knees right here, if they were following God's leadership, on their knees right here praying to God today. I believe it's that powerful. Why? Well, you can take your Bibles if you want to and turn there. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, the Word of God tells us this. If you're there, say amen. I still hear pages turn. That's all right. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Listen to what Isaiah says. He says, so shall my words be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void unto me. It's not coming back empty. It's not coming back in vain. In other words, this, that word is so powerful that you hold in your hand today that it changes lives forever. It changes lives forever. I don't know about you this morning, but listen to me today. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was the Word of God and its proclamation that changed my life forever. There wasn't no man, woman, or child that did that. There was no person on the face of this earth that changed Mike from what he once was to what I am today. And by the way, I'm not perfect today. I am not perfect by no means, but I can guarantee you this today. If I die today, I know where I'll spend eternity. I know where I'll be. And there is only one thing that gives me that assurance. It ain't what man said, it's what God's Word says. See, a God pleaser knows that the Word of God is powerful. And they know that God can do anything. Man, we sit back and we wring our hands. I'm guilty of this. We sit back and we wring our hands. Oh, my Lord. We are in a mess. Oh, my gracious. Woo! I sit there and watch these television shows. I have to get up and walk out in the yard. My gracious. I got up and walked out in the yard yesterday afternoon. It was, of course, during the football game. I'm screaming in the backyard. My daughter's here. She'll testify to that. My wife told me, you got to calm down. You're scaring the kids, the dog, and me. You sit back and you listen to these things. And we wring our hands. Oh, Lord, help us. Guys, listen to me. You know what? It takes me a while. I'm a Grimes. We're known for our thick craniums. Hard-headed. I'm here to tell you today to listen to me. It took me a while to get this through my skull. But my God and your God is still in control. It doesn't matter what you walk through this week. It doesn't matter what you face next week. When you get up here in just a few moments and walk out that back door, you walk out of here with your head high, knowing that your God is in control. Knowing that your God has it all under control. He knew that all this was going to happen. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, and years from now. He is in control today. A God pleaser knows that. A God pleaser knows that His Word does not return void. But notice this. He also knows this. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew. Turn over to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. Yeah, that's it. Well, Let me just read, give you a background on this. Look back in Matthew chapter 19. Look back at verse 23. Oh my, one of the most discussed and debated verses probably in the Word of God. Notice this, what he says. The Bible says, "And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God.'" And we stop right there. Stop. That's right. Ain't gonna be no rich folks in heaven. Because you can't squeeze a camel through the eye of a needle. And the debate rages. I believe there's going to be rich people in heaven. They ain't got a thing in the world to do with your money. It's got everything to do with who you love. Notice what Jesus says, because we don't read this after that. Notice what Jesus goes on and says, and says, when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished at the saying. "Then who can be saved?" they say. "And looking upon them, Jesus said to them, 'With man,'" he's referring back to what he just said, "'with man, this is impossible.'" Now, whatever you believe, if you believe that he's talking about a true literal needle that you sew thread with, that squeezing a camel through that, or if you're talking about a gate going into Jerusalem, whichever one, notice what Jesus says. He says, "With man, this is impossible." It's going to take you a while to squeeze that needle, that camel through the eye of that needle. It's going to take a while. It's going to take you a while, that gate, to get him on his knees and ring through there. But notice what he says. "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Hot dog. I'm here to tell you today, listen to me. It don't matter what happens this afternoon. Lord only knows what that would be in the day and age in which you and I live. We can only imagine. But walk out of here knowing that no matter what it is, my God can handle it. Nothing is impossible with my God. And I'm here to tell you today, listen to me. Your God today loves you. "Oh, preacher, he can't love me." What do you mean he loves me? He does. What do you mean he loves me even where I'm at now? Even where you're at now. "Oh, the things I've said, the way I've acted, there's no way. No way." I'm telling you, he does love you. "Oh, he could never forgive me for the things I've said or done. He could never do that." With man, it's impossible. But with God, it's possible today. He'll forgive you. He will forgive you for wherever you're at in life's journey today. You may sit back and say to yourself, "You know what? Oh, preacher boy, if you knew exactly what I've been doing this past week, oh my, your toes would curl up." I started to share this morning with my Sunday school class, but I didn't. I couldn't find my glasses, and by the way, these ain't my glasses, or these are my glasses. They're just reading glasses. I can't find the ones that I got from the eye doctor. If you see a pair of glasses laying around, they're probably mine. Just bring them in. Started to share this, and I'll close with this story this morning. But I want you to hear this story now. Listen to the story. I lived in Cottonton. There was a lady that attended the church. And by the way, she's visited here before. Her brother lived in Columbus, Georgia, and she would ask me about once a month, she said, "If you don't mind, would you go up and see," listen to this, "Mike?"
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll go see him. Sure will.
And I'll never forget this. Driving up to his house, I'd go inside. Never forget, I cannot say some of the things he said. I wouldn't dare say it. But he would see if he could embarrass me, make me blush, embarrass, what, however you want to phrase it. I mean, buddy, he would say some things. Whoa. The lightest thing he said, I'd ask him, is there anything I can do for you when I'd leave? He'd say, yeah, you can get me a new wife. Because I'm tired of this one. What do you say to something like that? I mean, he would cuss. I mean, he would cuss. Whew. And you know what? Listen to him. He finally looked at me and he said, don't that bother you? I said, yeah, it bothers me. He said, well, why aren't you embarrassed or something? I said, well, let me tell you something, buddy. I said, there were several years in my life I used the same language. I know all them words. Shoot, I've used all them words. Done it. Yeah, but don't that bother you? I said, listen to me. I said, today, me being bothered over the language you use is irrelevant. You shouldn't be concerned about me. You better be concerned about God today. I can't save you. It doesn't matter if you do embarrass me. It doesn't matter. I said, God knows your heart today. And I said, God is the one that can set you free and save you today. And let me share this with you today. For somebody in this room, I don't know who you are. I don't claim to know anybody's spiritual temperature, whether it be hot or cold. I don't claim to know all that. But I'd be willing to say that in a crowd this size, there's a big crowd in here this morning. In a crowd this size, there's somebody today that needs Jesus. Now there's somebody today that needs a relationship with Him. And what I mean by that is being saved. There's somebody in here today that needs that. There's somebody in here today that needs that relationship mended with Jesus Christ. For whatever reason, over the years, you have waved away, you have drifted away, however you want to say it. You just ain't been living the way you know you ought to live. According to the Word of God, not what some man says. You know today that you have not been pleasing God. Then this is the invitation for you today. I don't want you to come to me. I don't. I'm irrelevant today when it comes to setting, to forgiving you of your sins, to asking. I'll be more than happy to pray with you. This man sitting right here on the front will be more than happy to pray with you. But today, the one that you need to come to is Jesus today. Right here today. So wherever you're at in this room right now, God's speaking to your heart. I want to invite you to come right now. This is what I want to do. I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, please. The altar's open right now. You don't have to wait. You can come right now. Now, Father God, I pray in this moment. I pray, God, that as you speak to hearts right now, I pray, God, that hearts are obedient to you. Father, today, may we see fruit brought forth for your glory. God, today may we strive to be God pleasers rather than man pleasers. It begins with our relationship with you, realizing that through you, all things are possible. God, this is our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen.